ಚಕ್ಷುನ್ಮಿಳಿತಂ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಶ್ರುತ ಪದ ಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುಣ ವೈಷ್ಣವಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾರಜಾತಂ ಸಗಣ ರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾರವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನ ಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾದ ಸಗಣ ಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾವಿತಂಶ್ಚ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧು ದೀನಬಂಧು ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೆ ಬೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವಿಶ್ವಭಾನು ಸುತೇಜಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ವಾಚ್ಯ ಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ನಮೋ ಮಹಾವದನ್ಯಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮಿನಿ ಗೌರದ್ವಿಷೇ ನಮಃ. ಐ ಆಫರ್ ಮೈ ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ಫುಲ್ ಒಬೀಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಅಟ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಂ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಮೋರ್ ಮ್ಯಾಗ್ನಾನಿಮಸ್ ದನ್ ಎನಿ ಅದರ್ ಅವತಾರ ಈವನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ಬಿಸ್ಟೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರೀಲಿ ಬಟ್ ನೋ ಒನ್ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ಹಸ್ ಎವರ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರೇಮ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವರ್ಣಂ ತ್ವಿಷಃ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ಸಾಂಗ ಪಾಂಗ ಅಸ್ತ್ರ ಪಾರ್ಷದಂ ಯಜ್ಞೈ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ ಪ್ರಾಯೇ ಯಜಂತಿ ಸುಮೇಧಸ. ಇನ್ ದಿ ಏಜ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಲಿ ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆಂಟ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ಸ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಕಾಂಪ್ಲಿಕೇಟ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಟು ವರ್ಷಿಪ್ ದ ಇನ್ಕಾರ್ನೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಗಾಡ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಕಾನ್ಸ್ಟೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ದ ನೇಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಆಲ್ದೋ ಹಿಸ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೆಕ್ಷನ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬ್ಲ್ಯಾಕಿಶ್ ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Nana sastra vichara naika nipunau shad dharma samsthapakau loka naam hitakarinau tribhuvane manyau sharanyakarau radha krishna padaravind ಭಜನಾ ಆನಂದೇನ ಮಂದಾಲಿಕೌ. ವಂದೇ ರೂಪ ಸನಾತನ ರಘುಯುಗೌ ಶ್ರೀ ಜೀವ ಗೋಪಾಲಕೌ. ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್. ಐ ಆಫರ್ ಮೈ ರೆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ಫುಲ್ ಒಬೀಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಅಟ್ ದ ಸಿಕ್ಸ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮೀಸ್ ನೇಮ್ಲಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಸನಾತನ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ, ಶ್ರೀ ರೂಪ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ, ಶ್ರೀ ರಘುನಾಥ್ ಭಟ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ, ಶ್ರೀ ರಘುನಾಥ್ ದಾಸ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ, ಶ್ರೀ ಜೀವ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ, ಶ್ರೀ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಭಟ್ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ, who are very expert in student study all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds and they are worth taking shelter of. Because they are absorbed in the moon office and are engaged in the transcendent loving service of Shri Radha and Krishna. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಂ ಉದೀರಯತ್. ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ. ಭಗವತೀ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೆ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣೋ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಪ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಪ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಪಾದಿ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಎವ್ರಿವನ್, ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ಮೈ ಹಂಬಲ್ ಒಬೀಸೆನ್ಸಸ್. ಅಪೊಲೊಜೈಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಯೂಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಲ್ಯಾಪ್ಟಾಪ್. ಸೊ ದ ವಿಡಿಯೋ ಇಮೇಜ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ವೆರಿ ಶಾರ್ಪ್. The new laptop somehow won't work, you know. So I hope everybody at least can hear me. Okay, before we start, yes, let me turn the video here. Hare Krishna. starting a new theme here, second theme, about Bhagavan's potencies. We last week completed, a week before actually, theme. It was all about the three aspects of the Absolute Truth. When I said three aspects, there could have been misunderstanding. This is going to be clarified, the second theme. The three aspects are Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan realizations. We also saw that the qualifications are necessary for Brahman realization. Jiva Goswami at the outset said that he is not going to discuss Paramatma here because that is going to be discussed later. It's part of Bhagavan also. There's a separate Paramatma Sandarbha. Now, Brahman aspect also, he's started, that's what Jiva Goswami said, that it is due to the qualification of the worshipper, how from a different angle of vision that you see this truth. We already learned from Tattva Sandarbha, Absolute Truth is one without the second, Jnanam Advayam. So, three aspects doesn't mean three different divisions of the Absolute Truth. Absolute Truth is indivisible. Three different aspects means a three different angle of vision according to the worshipper's qualifications, you know. So the Brahman aspect can see only the Brahma Jyoti or the effulgence of the Lord actually. And what we saw that the Mayavadis, they considered Brahman is devoid, even though it's indivisible, it's devoid of any particular attributes, potencies and so on like that, energies and so on like that. And then worst person who sees Paramatma vision, because they are a little bit higher than that, so they could see a somewhat personal aspect of the Lord, but that is only due to the external potency, especially for the creation, maintenance, dissolution of the universe. And only the devotees could realize the full realization of the Absolute Truth as Bhagavan. Later on, Jiva Goswami also tells us that with so many scriptural proof that it is actually Lord Narayana himself, you know, and that is in turn, of course, Krishna. So these three different aspects is really according to the particular qualification, so according to the particular perception of the worshipper. And Brahman realization, we saw that the basic qualification necessary is the purification of the heart. One's heart must be completely devoid of any material impurities. So the best way to purify the heart is, of course, devotional service, sadhana bhakti. So it's practice, devotional service is practice. We also saw the Brahman realization, what actually qualifies on further aspect of it, we saw that. So that is about, and then we also saw about Bhagavan realization. What are the qualifications necessary? Bhagavan realization is the most advanced devotee actually. So Brahman realization is the Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, devotees but not pure devotees, who are whose devotional service is dominated by Jnana, the scholarly abilities, that is what they see. So they are limited, their angle of perception is only they see this Brahman aspect, you know. But actually what we are going to learn today, that there is really no difference. Brahman is non-different from Bhagavan. So whatever the nature of Bhagavan is there, particular characteristics of Bhagavan that we see, it's also there in Brahman also actually. So Bhagavan is full of potencies, so Brahman also we see full of potencies, you know. So that is the biggest misunderstanding that could be clarified in today.
today and tomorrow actually. As you see, this first PowerPoint Sanjeev Prabhu is showing. So this theme is all about Bhagavan's potencies. This is the theme 2. And there are 4 sub-themes in that. As you see, the first part is Bhagavan's is the shelter of his mutually conflicting potencies. Bhagavan has unlimited, innumerable potencies. You cannot even count. So many potencies are there. The energies are there. But broadly speaking, they are in 3 broad categories. The internal potency, or what called Swarupa Shakti, then there is an external potency, there is Maya Shakti. And the third one is the intermediary, the living entities, the part of that actually. And these 3 potencies are functionally diametrically opposite to one another actually. So much contrast is there between these 3. So here we are talking potencies, internal potency and external potency. So they are so much pulled apart, diametrically opposite, and also say paradoxical, pulled apart, completely different, and so on like that. And yet, they are all supported by Bhagavan. And it is apparent, it's part of Bhagavan, not something that is superimposed, as we will see what Mayavadis, that we saw actually. Mayavadis talk about that it is superimposed on Brahman. No, it's not like that. It's the inherent. Bhagavan is endowed with 3 potencies. It is within him these 3 potencies are there actually. And they, even though they are functionally so much pulled apart, paradoxical, and yet they exist in perfect harmony within Bhagavan. So Bhagavan can accommodate these differing potencies within him. This is what we are going to hear in today and tomorrow's topic. So this is lesson 5 that we'll be talking today. And the text are 12, 13 and 14. And the second sub-theme is here that you see. Bhagavan has both conscious and inert potencies. In Sanskrit it's called chit and achit potencies. Which are inconceivable and intrinsic. Intrinsic means it's the part, integral part of Bhagavan, you know, that we will hear in text 15, 16 and 17. So what I'll try to do today, actually the number 16 text is the most complex and the most significant aspect of it. So what I'll do today, if Krishna permits, we will do 12, 13, 14 and 15, and 16 we will begin tomorrow actually. 16 and 17 we will do that tomorrow, you know. And then following week, the third sub-theme, third and fourth, which is actually is all about, here Jiva Goswami is to really basically talk about internal potency. This Bhagavad Sandarbha that we are discussing in this second book, second Sandarbha, is all about internal potency actually. No? Whereas external potency we'll talk about within the next several weeks actually in quite detail, but in much greater detail it is discussed in Paramatma Sandarbha. So in the third sub-theme, so before he discusses internal potency, which is beyond our comprehension, so first he gives a basic introduction about internal potency, so that from that we can understand internal potency later, you know. So there are two basic subdivisions of this Maya Shakti. So this is again another surprise that we are going to hear, and that is also kind of difficult concept to comprehend. And I'll try my best, as I understood it, from the following week onwards. You know, there are jiva shakti and guna, jiva maya and guna maya. That is in the lesson 7, text 18 through 23. And the final 4th subsection is Bhagavan's eternal attributes constitute his essential nature. That is really. essential nature is about body's potency, and how Maya feels shy even to come front of the Lord that we saw actually before in Tattva Sandarbha. What Vyasa saw in his samadhi, Maya wouldn't even come in front of him, you know, Maya chetat apashram, you know, apashraya. Because why she feels kind of ashamed, embarrassed, because she takes away Lord's devotees away from him, you know, and in fact that was really that was part of her service to the Lord actually. So that is lesson number 8, and that is text 24 to 28. So that we'll talk in subsequent weeks actually. So that really constitute all about Bhagavan's potencies. So let us talk about this lesson 5 and lesson 6. Lesson 5 today actually. Text 12, 13, 14 and part of 15 also actually we'll talk about. So 16, which is as I said, which is much more detailed of it and much more complex also. So that we will discuss tomorrow, if Krishna permits. So here the first one, first sub-theme. Bhagavan is the shelter. That's right, second part, my Prabhu. So second PowerPoint, that you just saw the first sub-theme. Bhagavan is the shelter of the mutually conflicting potencies. So here in text 12, this is he is introducing an aspect of it. But before I talk about this, I just want to tell you why are we, because some of you might ask, why are we talking about all this thing? What is its relevance to us actually? It's very important for us to understand the relevance. As a devotee, we must understand, as a pure devotee, we are being trained as a pure devotee. We are not at present, but since we are being engaged in sadhana bhakti, so as I tell you many times examples, that you buy a ticket, you know, let's say from Mumbai to Delhi, just because you bought a ticket, you're not necessarily going to land in Delhi, of course, you know. But you got a ticket to sit in the train going there, you know. So eventually you are going to reach to your destination. So here also sadhana bhakti, it is an admission at the school actually. So once you graduate, then you'll become a pure devotee, you know. So here, what is the significance to us? So as a pure devotee in training, we must understand that the Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, the ultimate reality, is actually a person. It's the Supreme Person, you know, with Supreme Consciousness. And in order to realize the personal aspect of the Absolute Truth, it's very important that Jiva Goswami emphasizes here that we must understand the Lord's potencies also, Lord's attributes, and what is his relationship with his potencies. That's very, very, it's crucially important for us to understand. So that's one aspect. But even on a broadest aspect of it, when simply hearing anything and everything about Krishna, that itself is very, very auspicious, and it's very, very purifying our existence, you know. So if nothing else, we simply hear about it, that itself purifies our heart. As that verse we see in Bhagavatam, first canto, 7th chapter, text 6. Anartha upasapam sakshat bhakti yogam adhokshaje. You know, all the impurities, all the inauspicious things in our heart, that can be simply nullified, can be removed simply by being engaged in the yoga, pure bhakti to the Supreme Lord who is beyond sense perception. But lokasya janata vidvams, the large mass of people, they're totally unknown, unaware of that simple fact that simply by chanting the holy name, we can become purified, and all the impurities in our heart gets removed. All the sinful reactions that we are suffering, and that is Dakshinadi, Srila Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. Lokasya Janapam Chakra Sarvata Samhita. So you can clearly see that simply hearing about Krishna, that is part of devotional service actually. That prepares our heart the most inauspicious things, especially those six vices of the lower modes of material nature, mode of passion and ignorance, karma, growth, lobha, mada, moha, matsara, this tremendous material hankering, and that is what really is the problem in here, and that's why we commit sins actually, and because of sinful reaction, we are suffering this material existence, and it is a vicious cycle actually. So we have to really, engage in devotional service. Simply hearing this sandarbhas that we are talking about is actually helping us to understand the essential message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Simply hearing Bhagavatam, we get purified. But to understand and really realize the essential message, essential significance of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is what Sri Jiva Goswami is helping us through his sandarbhas. So simply hearing about it, if nothing else, that can be a big, big, really boon to us. So here we must also realize, gradually we will realize the personal aspect of the Supreme Lord. And that's the reason why we must understand his attributes, his potencies. So here in this PowerPoint, the text 12 basically talks about what Jiva Goswami talks about as Anuchada, text 12, that these these potencies, especially these two internal potencies, also called Swarupa Shakti, an external potency called Maya Shakti, they are functionally fall apart, paradoxical, diametrically opposite. It's just like light and that fundamental difference is there. So it's called Sanskrit called Paraspar Viruddha. Paraspar means to one another. Viruddha means opposite. They are completely in opposite, functionally opposite. They act opposite way to one another, and yet they are perfectly accommodated by Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. So that is really the essence of this text 12. So and it is very, very inconceivable, very, very difficult to comprehend for us actually. And that is the fundamental feature of this absolute truth. That's what we are seeing here. And this completely different, functionally diametrically opposite way, these different potencies function, and yet they are in perfect harmony by the Lord, within the Lord. That self triggers tremendous controversy, a philosophical discussion among great scholarly people, Vadis called. Vadis means Mayavadis, Brahmavadis, and so on like that. Ashtangavadis, Hatha Yogis, and so on like that. And they create a lot of arguments and discussions. Sometimes they support each other, like samvada, dialogue taking place. Sometimes vivada. Vivada means they very vehemently present their arguments opposing each other's theory, philosophies. And they even quote Shastra, same Vedic Shastra they quote, but different interpretations, So that is what it is there. And here, Jiva Goswami, to prove that, he cites a verse spoken by Daksha Prajapati, Daksha Maharaj, that he says that actually it's shown in the next one. So these are the two schools of thought. We are so much opposing each other for centuries actually. One who thinks the absolute truth is impersonal, nirguna nirakara. And other one, the personalist, they think that absolute truth is a person, devotees particularly. And they quote Shastra and so like that in support of their arguments, and eventually, ultimately they become bewildered actually. So that's what we see here in that verse that quoted by Daksha Maharaj, Lakshmana says that exactly that about, you know, that these are diametrically opposite to one another. These potencies within the Lord accommodates that, and that triggers so much philosophical controversy, philosophical disagreement and agreement, and so on like that. But Lakshmana said that I disregard that, and he said I offer my obeisance to the Lord, who is full of Ananta. Ananta means unlimited potencies, unlimited attributes within the Lord, and I pay my obeisance to that. So and he enjoys that actually. You know? So that is shown in that verse actually. And the next PowerPoint. He's showing just in a minute. And that is taken from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 4th chapter, text 31. Yat Shaktayo, Vadatam Vadinam Vai, Vibhada Samvada Bhuvo Bhavanti, Kurvanti Cha Esham Bhur Atma Moham, Tasmai Namo Anant Gunaya Bhumane. So, Yat Shakta, so he said, Tasmai, I offer my Lord, offer my obeisances because you are Ananta Guna. There are unlimited potencies you have, that you cannot even count. And these unlimited potencies, which function diametrically opposite to one another, and that triggers tremendous controversy, tremendous arguments, discussions among Vadatam. So they. That is what they say that. And Vadina means different Brahmavadis, Mayavadis, and so on like that. Why means certainly. And sometimes they agree to another, Samvada. Sometimes they vehemently oppose each other, Vivada. And so, Atma Chesha, more Atma Moham. And they ultimately become bewildered actually. So, here is the full translation. So, let me offer my respectful obeisances under the all pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's doing one Brahman aspect actually here, who possesses unlimited transcendental qualities, acting from within the cores of the hearts of all philosophers who propagate various views, and he causes them to forget their own souls, Atmoham, while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing, Samvada Viveda, Vivada, among themselves. And thus he creates within the material world a situation in which they are unable to come to any kind of conclusion. And this controversy, this disagreement, this philosophical differences is ongoing for centuries and centuries actually. It's never ending, never being resolved. But as a devotee, Lakshmana says, I know that my Lord, you are full of unlimited qualities and you accommodate this completely different way this forces work, and yet you come it within you in perfect harmony. So I offer my obeisance to you, my Lord. So this now, here Jiva Goswami, by signing that verse, he is establishing the fact here that these potencies are so much pulled apart in terms of its their functions within, not only within each other, internal potency versus external potency, and we are not even talking yet the third category, that is the intermediary potency, that is being, living entity. So these are so much functionally pulled apart, and yet Lord is being able to accommodate. So this is very, very difficult to comprehend actually. So here, that is what actually basically text 12 is all about. So in text 13 now, we'll go on to now. So let's summarize what are the basic way these two potencies, internal potency and external potency, as I keep repeating myself, they are functionally pulled apart, like dark and night, dark and bright, So see, for instance, external shakti, Maya Shakti, external potency, they, as we know from Tattva Sandarbha, that inflicts threefold accessories into living entities. Threefold means adhyatmik, adhyautik, adhidaivik. Adhyatmik means the difficulties that according to our own body and the mind. You know. Adhibhautik, the difficulties created by our fellow living beings. And the adhidaivik, the natural catastrophes, earthquake, excessive rain, lack of rain and so on like that. You know. So these three kinds of miseries, everyone suffers regardless. And of course on the top of it, birth, death, old age, diseases. So these are basically created by Maya Shakti. You know, and Vyasa himself saw in his samadhi, the living beings are constantly suffering. This is the very nature of material existence. Everyone suffers that, you know. But look at the internal potency. Internal potency completely dispels that. It creates, it nullifies the Maya's influence on living entity. When living entity turns against the Lord, then he comes under the control. Bankarba. Then living entity comes under the control of the external potency. But when the same living entity takes shelter of the Lord, Supreme Lord, in devotional service, then all these things are mitigated. You know, anartho upasapam shaksha bhakti yogam adokshaye. You know, so it dispels. So it's completely opposite way it works. You know, the internal potency and Maya cannot exert her this potency, her difficulties creating that when the living entity takes shelter of the Supreme Lord's internal potency. Internal potency is bhakti potency. You know. And other difference is that Maya causes bondage in material existence. So it continuously occupies us in the repeated cycles of birth, death, old age, disease. So it's transmigration into 8.4 million species of life forms that we continue life after life after life, you know. So that's a bondage in material existence. Whereas taking Lord's shelter of Lord's internal potency liberates us from this material existence. You know. So there are fundamental differences among these different potencies. Not only that, even within the same potency, the subdivisions within the same potency, also there is functionally opposing way it works. So for instance, like Maya, Maya has the three subdivisions are the three modes of material nature. Goodness, passion and ignorance, and each of the modes are in constantly trying to establish its supremacy. So mode of goodness is being counteracted constantly by mode of passion and mode of ignorance and so on onwards. So there is a constant struggle within the three potencies, completely diametrically opposite, you know. Mode of goodness allows us to see the knowledge, you know, Sattvam Sanjayate Jnanam, Sattvam Yad Brahma Darshanam, whereas Rajas, the mode of passion, gives us the hankering of material enjoyment, and material mode of ignorance makes us lazy. But so you can see that even these three subcategories of the same potency also they work functionally completely opposite to each other actually. And same is true even within the three subcategories of internal potency, Sini Shakti, Samavit Shakti and Ladini Shakti, you know. So this author of this book gives a very nice analogy actually to demonstrate this diametrically opposite way these potencies work against each other, you know. It's like ghee lamp. So you see that the ghee lamp has a flame, and the flame subsists, depends on ghee. Ghee being, you know, by the wick, you know, in the lamp. So ghee, the flame cannot exist if ghee is exhausted, right? Ghee itself cannot move, it's immovable. constantly the flame is consuming the ghee through the week, and yet at the same time it cannot subsist without ghee also. So it consumes and it also depends on it. When the ghee is run out, then flame dies actually, you know. So that is a good kind of analogy to demonstrate the functionally opposite things, the way things work actually. You know? Okay, so this is all about textual. Jiva Goswami here demonstrates here how these potencies are diametrically opposite to one another actually, completely polymetrically opposite in terms of function. You know? So text 13 and 14 here to demonstrate that, as usual, he cites scriptures, you know, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. So they are mutually opposing potencies, you know. So text 13, he cites the words spoken by Dhruva Maharaj. Now here again, as I told you in the very upfront before this class, that we are going to remove some kind of misunderstandings, misconceptions that might have developed when we did the first theme about the absolute truth in three aspects, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. You know, the Brahman, there it is defined, is devoid of potencies, attributes. You know? That's not really the fact actually. In fact, Brahman is non-different from Bhagavan. So Bhagavan has potencies, or same way Brahman also. So it's the way, the only thing the different is because of the worshipper. Their angle of perception is different, you know? Their qualification is different. So they have a limited view of it, you know. As I told you, Brahman, realized person, is a devotee, no doubt about it, but his devotion is not pure, it's Jnana Mishra Bhakta, you know. So he, as if sees something from far, far distance, he can see only the effulgence aspect, the Lord. Effulgence is a potency, it's not separate potency from the energy, from is the energetic, the one who belongs to it, you know. So one, as you go closer and closer, you see the Lord. So a devotee a little bit far advanced than a Jnana Mishra Bhakta can see a Lord's external potency, through which a Lord creates, maintains and dissolves this material cosmos. And the devotee who goes even further advanced, then he actually see the internal aspect of the Lord, which is the internal potency, Swarupa Shakti. So, in other words, they are one and the same. Three aspects doesn't mean three different divisions are actual truth. They are one and the same, but looking at it from a different angle, so different perception is there. You know, that's the only difference. You know, so here, Dhruva Maharaj, as you see from the fourth canto, ninth chapter, text 16 that he is quoting, Dhruva Maharaj had an audience face to face. He sees Lord Vishnu as a person in front of him, and yet he addresses the Lord as Brahman. You know, so that's very interesting. Actually, you know, he refers to the Lord as Brahman, and he's saying that he's all full of bliss, an unlimited ananta, without transformation of vikara. So these are different characteristics of Brahman that he sees that, you know. So here, Brahman by definition that we saw earlier in the first theme, that is without qualities, is not exactly like that, you know. So question might arise, if Dhruva Maharaj is so far advanced, is able to see the Lord face to face, why is he addressing him as Brahman, you know? So basically, and he, not only that, he says Brahman is full of qualities. So it is in fact self-contradictory, isn't it? You know, but the basic fact here that Jiva Goswami's purpose for quoting this verse to show us that there So he is real as a Bhagavan. So he is here is demonstrating to us that he also saying that there is fundamentally no difference between Brahman and Bhagavan. So whatever you can say about Bhagavan with his full potency and attributes, you can also say the same thing about the Brahman aspect of it also. So and here is addresses. Lord is the source of cosmos, so that Vishvam, and so he is the source and he is the controller of the material universe, and yet he undergoes no transformation, you know. So he is the cause of cause, supreme cause of cause, because in the material world we see that every cause, when it's converted into effect, it changes. Like milk, milk when it's converted into yogurt, there is no more milk, of course, right? But here, the Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, is the cause of all causes, remains the same, even though so many cause, sub-causes and sub-effects take place. And is unlimited and all-pervading, so that's the Brahman aspect. And yet, he is a person. So see, that when the Lord, he is situated in the spiritual world, but his bodily effulgence is open to the entire universe, all around, you know. From it originates from the spiritual world, in going all around in the entire globe, actually, you know, the Brahmanda. And within this small region of the Brahma Jyoti, this material universe is created. So that's what the point is there, you know. So that is part of the Supreme Lord, you know. So all these contradictions are reconciled within the Supreme Person. So the contradictions are there, but they are all resolved. They are part and parcel, inherent part and parcel, integral part and parcel of the Supreme. That's what Jiva Goswami is really trying to establish that fact, actually. So let us see that verse, actually, 4.9.16. The next point. Yasmin viruddha gatayo hi anisham patanti vidya adayo vividya shaktaya anupurvayat tat brahma vishwa bhavam ekam anandam adyam anandamatra avikaram aham prapadya. So as yasmin viruddha gatayo, so this potency of viruddha, it's opposite to one another completely, you know. Anisham patanti, unending way, and vidya adiyo, so there is a knowledge, ignorance, everything is there actually in that. Vividya shataya, different varieties, so variegatedness of different potencies, one by one, anupurvayat, one by one. That Brahma, so that Brahma is Vishwa Bhavam, he is the source of the entire material cosmos. Ekam anantam, anantam, unlimited, adyam, original, and ananda matra, he is nothing but complete bliss. And avikaram, that does not go any kind of transformation. And that absolute truth, that is what he said, I'm paying my obeisance unto it, unto that. Is showing the next PowerPoint. So that particular verse, let me read that translation. So my dear Lord, in your impersonal manifestation of Brahman, so here remember Dhruva Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord, and he is able to see the Lord in front of him, right? Lord is actually standing by him, actually, and yet he is addressing him as Brahman, actually. So that itself, these contradictions are there. Yeah? So my dear Lord, in your impersonal manifestation of Brahman, there are always two opposing elements, both knowledge and ignorance. So knowledge comes from, of course, the internal potency, you know, and ignorance is the Maya potency. So both are there within you, actually, he says. So he is addressing you as Brahman, and he says that he has potencies, you know, and your multi-energy is a continual that creates this material cosmos, actually. And because you are the impersonal Brahman, so he said, cause of the material manifestation, you are like that. And because you are the same impersonal Brahman, so now he's saying that, so that the significant point here, the same impersonal Brahman is you, actually, my Lord. You are as a person. But so you are both in-person as well as person. As the potencies, you are impersonal, but you are there. So they are one and the same. There is no difference, non-different. So to that, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, my Lord. So here, Jiva Goswami is saying that the Brahman is basically perceived. So they are one and the same. There is no difference. Three aspects, but not three different parts. Very important thing to note here, actually. Because when you heard the first topic, first theme, we all were under the impression that Brahman is devoid of any potencies. No. Brahman is not a different part of Absolute Truth. It's one and the same. But we are looking for a different angle of vision, actually. So, jnanis, who are bhaktas, advanced bhaktas, but their bhakti is jnana mishra. It's mixed with jnana, knowledge. So, they basically perceive their adhikara, their qualification is to perceive the Lord's Brahman aspect of it. So, they are limited by that. And in fact, their target, their goal is also to realize Brahman and to merge within the Brahman, merge within the Brahman Jyoti. Whereas Ashtanga Yogi is a little bit more advanced than Jnana Mishra Bhakta, but he sees only that aspect of the Lord by which Lord creates material cosmos, that he is the source of material universe, Vishva Bhavam. Whereas the devotee who is the most advanced, who can actually perceive the Lord's internal potency, full realization, he sees all Anand Matra completely blissfully. But again, I'm emphasizing again and again the same thing. Fundamentally, there is no difference between one Paramatma and the other one. They are all one and the same, actually. And that's what Jiva Goswami is emphasizing here. There's a different angle of vision, actually. Basically, that's a different aspect of it. Okay. Next one. Text 8, actually, now. Paragraph number 8. So now, Jiva Goswami is quoting another verse that is from 4th canto. Here he is quoting the dialogue taking place between Maitreya Muni and his spiritual master Parasar Muni, actually. And basically they are discussing about Mother Earth, who is offering prayers to the Lord. Now, Mother Earth, she was chastised by King Prithu in the 4th canto that we hear, when she failed to provide all the basic necessities to humankind. So Prithu Maharaj really chastises her and really punishes her also. So Mother Earth, realizing that King Prithu is none other than the Supreme Lord himself, so she is offering prayers. So this is a part of the prayer. That is what actually, now here Maitreya Muni is referring to Vidur Maharaj, Vidur Mahatma, actually. Later on we'll see that Maitreya Muni and Parasa Muni dialogue can take place later, actually. So here this text 14 now. Sargadi yo arun sargadi yasya anurudhi shakti bhir kriyakara chetana atmabhi tasmai saman niruddha shaktaye namaha parasmai purushaya vedase. So my dear Lord, by your own potencies, you are the original cause of material elements. So here actually, the cow, Mother Earth, what happened? So my dear Lord, by your potencies, you are the original cause of material elements. So during Sarga, the primary creation is the Lord, Mahavishnu, who creates that we saw that earlier. Yeah? And senses, the workers of the senses, the controlling demigods and so on like that. Intelligence, false ego and so on. As well as everything else. So by your energy, you manage this entire cosmic creation, maintains it, and then dissolves it. Through your energy alone, everything is sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. So you can see that there are...
So Hare Krishna, everyone. Teacher Gopi's computer is having a problem, so he's rebooting. So kindly be patient. Thank you very much. Dishana Mataji, if you're around and would like to do some kirtan, that would be great. Hare Krishna.
Doesn't it define by logic. So that's the question. So text 15 is basically is giving an answer to that. Yes, it is difficult if you just think about logic, but when it comes to the Supreme Lord, logic doesn't work actually. No, it is inconceivable. So that's the point here that Jiva Goswami is making. So here, as you see in my PowerPoint, yes, according to Jiva Goswami, this is because of its inconceivable nature, and as such, it cannot be understood by mere logic. The God is defined is complete opposite to one another. Actually, in Isha Upanishad, we say that God is here, God is not. God is near, God is far. You know, and like that, He's inside, He's outside. Complete opposition. In fact, completely opposite things are there within the Lord, actually. You know? So Jiva Goswami now cites a verse that is spoken by Devahuti, Mother Devahuti, to her son, who is actually the Supreme Person of God, and Lord Kapil Dev, actually. You know? And Kapil Dev, when instructs her, she realizes that her son is actually the Supreme Lord, you know. So here she speaks to her son, actually, Kapil Dev, from whom she learns that he is the Supreme Lord himself, actually. And Jiva Goswami also cites two Vedanta sutras also in support of, in trying to answer these two questions, that Lord's potency are inconceivable and does defy material logic. You cannot apply logic in trying to understand that, you know. That's one point here. So let's first talk about this verse spoken by Mother Devahuti. You know? So what is Mother Devahuti's... this sounds very, very similar to Mother Kunti's prayers also, the same way actually. You know? But Jiva Goswami prefers to... he quotes this verse from Mother Devahuti. Sa eva visvasya bhavan vidyate vidyate guna pravahena vibhakti sandir atma ishvara atarkya sahastra sakti. Atarkya, that is inconceivable. Sahastra sati, thousands and thousands of potencies are there actually. Oh my Lord. Although personally you have nothing to do, you have distributed your energies in the interactional modes of nature, and for that reason the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation takes place. My dear Lord, you are all self-determined, and you are the Supreme Lord for all living entities. For them you create this material manifestation. And although you are one, your diverse energies, diverse means so much variegated energies, you know, are act multifariously. This is inconceivable to her. So what she realizes, because she heard from her son that he is the creator of the material manifestation, so over entire material Brahman, material cosmic world actually. So Lord basically at the beginning Sarga creation, he created when each and every, so many multiple universes, and each and every universe he enters his expansion is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu's navel, his lotus stem erupts, and on the lotus he created Lord Brahma. And so the entire material world, multiple universes are within the Lord actually. And the same Lord in which entire material universe is there, what Mother Devahuti is kind of astonished that now that same Lord is in her womb now actually. You know? That is Kapil Dev actually, it was there. So she is wondering, how is it possible that? So he's here, by nature, you are that extreme differences are there actually. So it's macro and micro, from whom, from within whose entire material cosmos is situated, and the same now situated in her tummy actually. That's what she finds is very, very amazing actually, astonishing actually. So basically, quoting this verse, Jiva Goswami is establishing that Lord has this potencies which are so act diametrically opposite and yet act they coexist within the Supreme Lord. So Lord accommodates all his potencies within him and they act perfect Supreme Lord. She just couldn't comprehend how Bhagavan, who created Brahma from his lotus navel and who is the source of the entire cosmos, could have been within her womb now, you know. Thus, based on her own personal experience, she declared that the Lord has thousands of inconceivable potencies. Atma Ishvara Atarkya Sastra Shakti. Atarkya means, Tark means different arguments. So this is beyond, it's inconceivable, beyond simple logic, you know. Basically she's saying, your thousands and thousands of potencies, they work in complete opposition to one another actually, you know. And that is, she finds that is really astonishing, you know. No one can comprehend. So material logic doesn't work here, you know. So how is it that Brahman, which is indivisible, can perform so many actions? So two Vedanta sutras actually, you know. Vedas declare the Brahman to be free from such internal divisions. So Brahman is indivisible, cannot divide each other, divide, you know. And Brahman does indeed possess inconceivable potencies that act in opposition to one another. So that's the point that repeatedly we have been hearing, that by different scriptural sources, Jiva Goswami is establishing here, you know. And the second Vedanta sutra that he quotes, that explains the coexistence of such variegated potencies, which is very hard to comprehend. How two opposing things can coexist in the same, the Lord could accommodate them within the victory. So that is what really very, very, very difficult to understand that. So, basically Jiva Goswami and the commentaries that is pointing out, actually Vidya, what the Vidya Bhushan is saying, that he, what to speak of Bhagavan, even this material world, we see sometimes phenomena that is occurring, this supernatural, which is very, very difficult to explain in any other way actually. Let's, for instance, some gems or some mantras. There are people in India actually, even in the South America also actually, and it's called spiritual healing powers, you know. That's, you know, in India there are people who are very, very knowledgeable. They speak some mantras and that could cure incurable diseases like cancer and so on like that, you know. It's really amazing. But the observation is there, fact is there, that you cannot deny, you know. In fact, that is the topic of my book also, the same thing, that just following simple spiritual practice, one's very personality changes actually, completely, which is, we are born with it, which is within our very DNA. How is it possible then? So that observation is there, but science cannot explain that. It's, but that exists in material world. So what do you speak of Bhagavan and his potencies, which is beyond our thinking power, you know. So that's the point here. Is pointing out that even mantras, sound vibrations, have inconceivable power to heal incurable diseases. Then why not Bhagavan can do that, you know? In fact, something is just because something that we cannot explain, it doesn't mean that it's impossible. That's the point here actually, you know. And we should not dismiss it as impossible. That's the lesson that we are learning here actually, no? So that means we cannot understand that how it works. That precisely what I'm talking about, Vidyanaya personality also actually, by simply chanting the holy name, or simply honoring Krishna Prasadam, same food actually, but once it's offered to the Lord, it becomes sanctified. Now it becomes literally Lord's grace. Prasada means grace, and it does wonder actually, no? And that observation is there. People who are chanting the holy name, consuming prasadam and so on, their very personality completely changes actually. No? So that, which is amazing actually. So there is a spiritual reason behind that. That's what the point is here. Is Jiva Goswami's by in that text 16, basically. certain things. First is pointing out that these two potencies are diametrically opposite. Functionally, they are completely opposite, you know, and yet coexist within the Lord in perfect harmony, you know. So far that we have seen so far in these verses. And now he's going to show in the 16, and here he's going to show us that these are actually the intrinsic part of the Lord, actually, integral part of the Lord himself, actually. That's the point he's pointing. And this text is very, very elaborate. It's quite complex also, and quite large, so that we will better discuss tomorrow, actually. Point I'm making here, the point, before we close, I wanted to summarize here that, remember, right at the beginning, Jiva Goswami said that there have been different vadas, like Mayavadis, so impersonalist, Brahmavadis, and so on, like that. So, Shankaracharya, which is called radical impersonalism, we saw that Tattva Sandarbha, that what he says, that these potencies and all these things. Mayavadis don't believe Brahman. They say that the reality is Brahman. Everything else is just an illusion, actually. So they don't accept Brahman, Bhagavan aspect of it. So they don't expect Brahman to have any kind of potences or attributes. They deny that, actually. And what they are saying, that this Brahman, when it comes into contact with the Maya potency, Maya's Vidya and Avidya potency, with Avidya potency when it comes into contact, and then there's Upadhi that we discuss at great length. So it superimposes the quality of the modes of material nature on Brahman, and with Avidya potency contact, the superimposition is what the Jivatmas are developed. And the same Jivatma now comes into contact with the Vidya potency by Vedanta Sutra and so on, like that. Become Brahman, you know. So that means this different potencies, energies, what they believe in Shankaracharya, that is actually superimposed on Brahman, you know. And that's why. So Jiva Goswami refuses that, actually. Disproves that. And what he's going to prove to us, establish very lucidly and very convincingly, that these are actually the integral of the Supreme Lord. So he quotes quite important verses here, actually, you know, especially verse that is spoken by King. Yogendra Pipalayana to King Nimi. King Nimi was asking a question about the different motors, how they work. So in that reply, Pipalayana is talking about that. So that we will see that. And it's very complex, so let's discuss in a very separately tomorrow's class, you know. But basically here what I want to show you that, in this PowerPoint that you see, in sharp contrast to monist philosophy of Shankaracharya, Jiva Goswami very convincingly and lucidly elaborates the essential reality of Bhagavan. What is that? The function, the fundamental characteristic of Bhagavan is that so many implicated energies, potencies, are integral part that are inherent in him. Lord is endowed with these potencies. It's not something superimposed from outside on Brahman. That's the fundamental thing that we must understand. So they are not superimposed on him as a result of upadhi or limitation due to contact with the avidya potency of Maya. And these potencies can never overpower him. Rather, Lord actually controls his potencies. This different opposing way that potencies work, they are actually controlled by the Supreme Lord. You know. And more, despite their paradoxical nature, his potencies coexist within him and functions in perfect harmony with each other. So that is what the really inconceivable part, very, very difficult to comprehend. We cannot apply material logic to understand, you know. That's the point here so far. So we will tomorrow we'll continue this text 16, where Jiva Goswami cites quite a few verses, actually, you know, many verses, you know. So I'll stop here and see if there are any questions today. What we have discussed so far, about this paraspar virudha potencies there that we saw that, especially internal potency and external potency, and that they coexist within the Lord. Okay, so we'll stop here and see questions. Thank you very much, Hari Bol. Let me read these questions. Thank you, Jasmin Prabhu. Nice to see you back. Personality, Supreme Personality, why can the Lord simply demonstrate His true and reality in a way that will eliminate these debates once and for all? Why does religion have to be the reason for conflicts instead of being reason for peace? Good point, Prabhuji. But here, Lord allows this thing actually. You know? There is a point that that was that we just heard about it, especially Daksha Maharaj prayers. So remember, Daksha Maharaj, we are talking about even Satyalokas, even in Satya Yuga, this controversy is there. So there are yugas and yugas, this controversy is always there actually. And Lord doesn't interfere that. You know, Lord permits that kind of controversies. That's the point here. That I don't know. Sharad Prabhu, the Lord is inconceivable. The Maya potency always bewilders the jiva. Simplest way to cross over is to follow the path of bhakti. We are most degraded as we are still suffering from material pangs since time immemorial, trillions and trillions of years. Knowing all this is where we still do not follow the path of bhakti. Why the Lord is not conferring His mercy unconditionally? Is it because He is impartial, or He wants us to properly use our free choice granted to us first to obtain His mercy? No unconditional mercy to us. Yes. You are right, actually you are answering your own question here. Lord has given us our free will, and that He never interferes. But He provides knowledge through Shastra, and He has this 12 Mahajanas, the great personalities who establish religious principles, tells us what is the reality and what is unreality and so on like that. And He leaves us to make a decision. Basically, sometimes we learn by experience. Many people, they don't learn by experience, so they have to take repeated births and deaths. In fact, that is why the Lord has His Maya to really screen us, actually. Those who don't hear and don't become convinced, then we learn by experience. So Maya gives us this that kind of terrible experience in material existence, and then eventually we learn, actually. You know? And when we are ready to learn, then Lord provides all the kind of facilities to give us the true knowledge, actually. You know? So that is the reason why it is all this. So He is ready to ready to shower His mercy, but we must be ready to receive that mercy. That's the point here, actually. In Gita also, it says that Lord has already extended His arm to a person who is about to be drowning in mid-ocean. But that person also has to extend his arm to grab Lord's arm, then Lord can pick him up, actually. But if we neglect and ignore Lord's extended arm, then what Lord can do? Lord wants us to also grab His arm, actually. So Lord is giving the mercy, but if we are not ready to receive His mercy, then that's our unfortunate, you know, it's our misfortune, actually. You know? So Lord is leaving us. He has given us a free will. Shows us bhakti towards unto Him is the solution. But bhakti cannot be forced upon us. He does not want to force us to become His Lord, His devotees. You know, it must come. The prema cannot be forced upon someone. Actually, prema must develop within ourselves. You know, so that's the point. Gokul Priya Mataji, Brahman is servant, though she is external inferior energy of the Lord, why she is not treated equal to internal potency. Again, this is Maya is given a very difficult role actually. She is given a role truly devoted people actually, who really wants to come to the Lord actually, you know. So that's why she screens us for that, you know. So those of us who still have so much material desires and we want to fulfill that desires, so as long as that desires are there, we are not qualified to go back to the Lord actually. So Lord puts us under the control of the Maya. So Maya gives us full facility, otherwise we cannot enjoy independent of Krishna. That's not simply possible. So she takes us away from Krishna so that we can enjoy. But then we realize that there is no real happiness in this material world. And then, so Maya makes sure that, and then of course Lord's internal potency takes charge of it. And then Maya does not interfere there. Maya cannot have jurisdiction with Lord's internal potency. That's what the, you see that both internal potency and external potency, they work completely opposite to one another. But yet, they coexist in the sense they don't interfere with one another actually. That's another important point here, that each of these potencies, they do not interfere within each other's realm, you know. Praveen Prabhuji, can you please explain again the difference between Brahma and Paramatma and Bhagavan? Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan are the same, non-different from one another. But Brahman is the external, is the effulgence of the Lord. This is from a devotional point, viewpoint I'm telling you, you know. So those who are far, far away from distant, what you see basically is just the effulgence, just like a sunlight, you know. So from a far, far away, we could see, we do not see the sun. We see rays of the sun, you know, and that's what we see actually. So Brahman is like that. It's much closer when you see Paramatma aspect of it. So Brahman is the effulgence of it, all pervading. Paramatma is the localized version of the Lord in everyone's heart. This Bhagavan is with the internal potency, Swarupa Shakti. But because they are non-different each other, whatever Bhagavan has, that Brahman also has, Paramatma also has in that regard, you know. So this is again reflective of the person who is worshipping and his own viewpoint, his own perception, that limits that person's vision actually, you know. That's the point. So person who is only capable of realizing Brahman, he is failing to see the potencies within the Brahman aspect. Even though Brahman is not different from Bhagavan. Okay? So that's the difference. Shrila Bhakti Mataji, why devotees are interested in studying about cosmos, astrology, etc.? Okay, that's a very nice question, Dr. Mataji. Now, in fact, Shrila Goswami actually answers in the second canto, actually, when he begins telling Parikshit Maharaj, what is the first step, second step, and so on like that. First step of God realization is to realize, those who are not really familiar with the Lord, then we see Lord's this gigantic Virat Rupa, universal form. All this, when we see that this gigantic material universe was created by someone, so he must be really, really great person, you know, a great personality. So that's, we have some idea about it. So that is first thing that we must realize. Before we actually begin to see the Lord as a devotee, and Lord's internal Swarupa Shakti, like, you know, if we straightway jump 10th canto and begin to read here about Lord's pastimes in Rasa Leela and so on like that, then because we are so, conditioned souls, we cannot realize, and we think Krishna as an ordinary person like us. So we think that we impose our own understanding of moral aspects on that Krishna, and we we think that Krishna is doing some immoral things. But when we first study and realize that he is the creator of this gigantic material universe, not only one universe, but billions and billions of universes, then we realize that he is no ordinary personality. So that is the reason why we must first study and understand this, studying about the cosmic manifestation, astrology and all these things, to realize who is the creator behind all these gigantic things. Then we really understand truly greatness or greatness. In fact, we will see that in this sixth text, that Krishna's potency is called Uru Shakti. Uru Shakti means great, great power. When we realize great unlimited power that Lord has, then we do not see those things that Krishna's Rasa Lila cannot be seen from our limited vision, limited kind of very acute. Even though these potencies are completely opposite,